Nice to be in the house of the Lord. Wow, a beautiful sensation. Yeah, we need to take advantage of sensation. Works on our heart, works on our emotions, works on our being, works on our experience, works on our good and bad things that have happened to us. And it just brings it all together, and it kind of wants to heal, amend, to bring together. And I was just reading in the Word. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Sometimes you all probably, you know, the Lord gives you a thought, gives you a word, gives you something. Then you look it up in there. And to me, I would like nothing more than to do what this scripture says today. It says, He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. We are all of you. Because, you know, our motto is everyone, every member, a minister. But we don't minister just in the letter or the law. Thou shalt not. It's not our character. It should not be to point the finger. Jesus never pointed the finger at people. He just said, you that are without fault, throw the first stone. So it says here, but not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills. The letter comes and cut. The Bible says the Word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword. It comes and it cuts. And you're gonna hear the word. It's gonna cut you. You're gonna feel uneasy. It's gonna deal with your past, your present. It's gonna deal with your emotion, your character. It's gonna deal with your attitude. And yet the word is going to hurt. It's like a diagnosis. When you go to the doctor, you go to a physician, you have a pain, you don't know what it is. And he tries to diagnose, and he gives you a diagnosis. This is what we're going to work on, this diagnosis. But then the word, the last part of the word says, but the Spirit gives life. You're going to be diagnosed and it's going to hurt. It wants to kill. But yet the Spirit should come and make it and soothe it and heal it. And you can, hopefully you can walk out worshiping and praising God because something transformed in you, something changed in you. And this is the hope today of the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds. Because God is so wonderful. God is so good. And He, you know, the Bible says He chose, the word in English, the word in Spanish is loco, la locura, the craziness, right, of the preaching. God chose the preaching of the word, of the craziness that we don't totally understand, but that the preaching of the word. Wow. Think about that. We're pretty crazy up here. I'm one of the crazier ones, I think. Amen. I preached to the children the other day, and well, it was like the other day. They asked, why do you choose an old man to preach to these young kids? And then they said, there's no one crazier. So I take that as a compliment, I guess. I'm not sure. But amen, because I believe the English says the foolishness of the preacher. Foolishness of the preacher. And you can walk away thinking this man was a fool, or you can take it and say, thank you, Jesus, it comes from you. The word kills, but the Spirit brings life and life. And I appreciate you know, using our pastor's pulpit every time I come here, his pulpit, and yet he says, use it. In the name of the Lord, and I honor our pastor, and more than anything, I want you to pray for him. He is, to me, the best preacher, pastor in all of the world. He lives what he preaches, and I know it's not Pastor's Day, but October is officially Clergy Appreciation Month. So I know we have ours at a different time, but still, I feel honored to be on this platform sharing it. I pray for his recovery. When I see him as he is now, and I go back and watch some video that I have. I used to take video, so full of energy, and now you see him in a wheelchair, but God is going to lift him up, brother. My lesson today, or my the word, the preaching, okay, I will try to be a little longer than I usually am. Done in half hour, but I want to go an hour. I'm just joking, you know, I can't. But we are his glory. If you can conceptualize that today, if you could walk away today thinking that you are the glory of God. Yeah, it's going to be hard for many of us to actually conceptualize that God really is that much interested in me, and that he did all of this. I have a book that I gave my son. It's not really a book, it's a chart. It's about 22 feet long. It opened it up like an accordion. It starts from the beginning of time all the way through to 1944. Man wrote it. And in the middle of that, I have to think that from the beginning of time to the end of time, to the present, somebody in your past lived through that, through the ages. Somebody survived in your lineage from the beginning of time. Beginning of the Word, the beginning of the Bible, that somebody survived to bring you to this day. It's incredible that we have survived, and that we can. If you need to, I guess you could go all the way back to some of the, you know, 1800, 1700, and think, wow, somebody in my past lived through it. But think about that. He did that all that stretch of time, and yet he just wants to focus on you. We don't, you know, we can look at that, but he wants us to focus on us and his experience in your life, and he wants to allow you to feel that importance that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I want you to look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. God said, do not approach any closer. Take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. The place where you are standing is holy ground. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We ask you to diagnose us this morning. We ask you to do the surgery with us today. And Lord, and when you want to give us life, that we, through the Spirit, would also be healed from all that we are exposed to today. Jesus, in our own lives, I ask you, God, that you bless every heart, every individual, every ear this morning in the name of Jesus. So when we were saying that the that the word kills, but the Spirit brings life. I'm actually asking you and talking to you about altar call. Because when you hear a sermon, it kind of penetrates, it kind of hurts, it kind of, you know, but you got to bring it to the altar. And this is what we're going to talk to do today about, is the altar of God. This is one altar. Some of you got married, you went to an altar. Some of you got, you know, all kinds of things happen at the altar. But more than anything is you sacrifice unto God, not to man, not to individuals, but unto God. And when the Lord is speaking to Moses, there's a burning bush. There's a attraction. There's something that is burning. I imagine that bush burned for a couple of days. I don't know. Moses was here and the bush was burning. It's a manifestation of God. Moses doesn't know it. Moses' curiosity brought him to that place. And when he gets close to that bush, the bush starts to talk. Woo! The bush starts to talk. There's a voice in the bush. Brother, sister, there's a voice speaking to you. My friend, there's always a voice speaking to you. It may be a bush. It may be an experience. It may be on the job. It may be asleep. It may be a dream. But there's always some version of God speaking to your heart. There's a connection because you're a spirit. You're a spirit. And God speaks to that spirit. Regardless of what is going on the exterior, regardless of what's going on in your past, you still have a spirit that's precious to God. Your life is precious to God. And he approached that burning bush, that voice coming out of that bush. You figure, you look at Moses' life at that time. He lived as an Egyptian. He lived as a son of a Pharaoh. He was a musician. He was an architect. He was a warrior. He was all these things. And yet the Lord allowed him to go 40 years in the desert. He lived as a shepherd 40 years in the desert, the hot, blistering sun. This man that came from a palace. The Bible says he refused by faith to be called. Because of my faith. So you figure, look at all this majesty and grace. And now he comes to the desert to live like a goat. To live among the sheep. What a transition. What a phase. We go through phases in our lives, brothers and sisters. We go from one phase to another. Oh my goodness, we transition from one thing to another. We you know, people move from one state to another, from one country to another. There's nothing so strange about that. But Moses took that transition and he was in the desert. But that's where God wanted him to be. That's where God wanted to mold him and to make him more confident, more trustworthy God. And I think one of the main things this morning is trust. God wanted Moses to trust him. And that's a real hard thing for some of us to do, is to trust people. Especially if you've been hurt. Somebody's caused a lot of pain. Some of you were hurt by the people that should have loved you and cared for you. And for you to have trust is very difficult. That's why when you come to a place like this with a church, they're talking about there's a God that can help you. There's a God that can do this. And in turn, you have to give something back. You have to turn your trust into God. Oh, it's difficult. I have to pray. I have a praise report. The young man, I asked for a prayer a few weeks ago that had a bad accident. The eye was very damaged. Well, the doctors have told him his eye is going to have full recovery. And he's out of the hospital and just running around doing things. So that's good. That's great. So God is always going to ask you to do something. You're just not going to walk into it and God's going to say, no, you're always going to be tested to see if you can trust God and if he can trust you. So simply take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. Oh my goodness, what's up with that, Jesus? These are pretty good floor shimes or Stacy Adams. What do you want me to take them off? Well, yeah, take them off. I have a doctor he was my doctor. He wore Pradas. And I tell my wife, I'm going to go, if you don't know, Pradas is a fancy purse and fancy, he has shoes, Prada shoes, they're very expensive. The other day we went to LA area and we went to the thrift stores. There were shoes there for $1,800. Purses for $4,000. It's not my typical thrift store, I know. But it says, take off your shoes. Take off that thing that took you to so many places that you've been. Take off your history. Take off all those things that have gone wrong with your life and take them off and be your feet, be naked. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet. I like feet. I'm a feet man, feet person. Those feet. You know, some of us have a lot of calluses on them. Yeah, your feet mean a lot. I was doing a domestic violence class, and in my domestic violence class, there was a PD, what do you call the guys, the foot doctor? He was in my class. Nice doctor. I've had doctors in my class, domestic violence class. I had apostolics in my class. Ay, ay, ay. I would ask him different things about the feet. He could tear you. Excuse me. He could just talk about feet all the time. But Jesus, the Lord is asking Moses, take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. Take off whatever is there. And I want you fresh. I want you just the way you are. I don't want you, I just want to use you, which you are. Please take it off. Why, Lord? He says, because the place where you're standing is a holy place. Holy place. Why? How much holier can you get than an old dusty mountain full of dust? I want you to think of this. Wherever you are, that's a holy place. You make that place holy. You are holy. I'm telling you, it was going to be a hard concept to think that you are worthy of having that place. Where you're standing, it's a holy place. Take off your shoes. The presence of Jehovah. In the presence of Jehovah. I wrote down the songs that the kids sang today. Not the kids, but the ministry sang today. And I love that. I love because, look at, we invite the presence of the Lord. It's not like the presence of the Lord isn't here. We sing because we want everyone to get excited and to start detaching themselves from the turmoil of every day and the problems. If we can do that, you know, because even at the name of Jesus, just at the name of Jesus, the devils tremble.
and they flee. Pew,
pew, pew. They come with you. The devils come with us. Yeah. There's a brother who's got a couple on his shoulder. There's a sister, she's got a couple in her purse. Devils come with us. Come on,
Prada or whatever.
Come on, you gotta. Oh, but when you start saying the name of Jesus, when you start praying the name of Jesus, when you get a hold of Jesus, those devils can't hold on. Those devils have no reason, no purpose. They've got to flee. Why? Because this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Where you stand, where I stand, when I say Jesus. Oh, when you cry out to the name of Jesus.
Brother was coming from Los Baños down on 152. He was coming real cool. After a service, I don't know if it was the service in Los Palos or Los Baños or Fireball. I don't know where else is out there. He was coming, and he was coming one of those streets, those roads. Somebody ran a stop sign and hit him broadside. Oh, knocked his car silly. The two occupants in the car, they hit him, died. There was a man that witnessed it. He was driving right alongside of the brother. He went to the hospital to see how the brother was doing. After it all happened, nothing happened to the brother. Nothing. And he says to the brother, hey, because he went in the room and he met him, hi, I just witnessed the accident. And he goes, is the other person okay? And the brother said, what other person? There was no other person in the car. He said, no. When you passed me, there was something glowing that was sitting in the front seat of your car. He said, that was Jesus. That was nobody else. Why? Because the presence of the Lord. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. But I'm talking about just simple Jesus. It's talking about that the devils tremble at the name of Jesus. This is what our praise team try to get us to do. Just can't stop praising his name. Huh? Just can't stop praising. Go home, get on YouTube, and replay this service. And see where was I? What was I doing? I can't just stop praising the name. Sure, they were all up here. They were on their pretty dresses and in their Pradas, or I don't know. But where were you? They were trying to tell you, I can't stop praising his name. We worship you because you are good. You're good all the time. You're good all the time. You're good all the time. Where was I? Oh, was I singing it? Was I praising him? Was I lifting him up? Oh, yes. Oh, and then how great is our God? How great is our God? Did you absorb it? Did you believe it? Did you sing it with your heart? This is what I'm talking about. It's breaking away. And these songs... So you can break away from the scores, the NFL scores. Break away from the chorizo that's waiting for you. If you didn't have it already. The menudo, the cure-all. Oh, break away from it. Just come on. He's here right now. He's here right now. He wants to give you blessing. He wants to pour out his love. How great thou art. Amen. 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 Those are beautiful verses of that. How great thou art. Go back and hear about the roaring thunder and all this. Why? Because that's the glory of God. Because that's what we're talking about. The presence of God. The glory of God. Man, you're standing on ground. Oh, how I love him. Hey, can you just click it back there for me? Yeah, let's do that. He went to the bush and he sought, he seek. One of the things in our soul that hardly we try to satisfy is we seek out the answer. We seek that we long for. You know, one of the saddest things when I studied drug addiction, and they explained to me, seeking the high. And in the studies, they say, some of you might contradict me, and not you, but they say that the person that uses a substance to alter their mind, that the very first time they use is the best, is the most wonderful, the most euphoric. And then after that, they seek that euphoria. They seek that high. They seek, they want, that's why they keep using it, because they want to get to, and you know what? The sad thing is they never reach that experience they had in the very beginning. And that's the saddest thing of all, is it was good, but then they keep looking. Oh my goodness, our soul hungers. We're seeking things. We want to be fulfilled and satisfied. We want, that's the human nature in us, in you, is satisfaction. Just like the deer pampereth out in the brooks. It seeks God. Oh, it seeks God. I know the verse in Spanish. I know our praise stream was bilingual today. Kind of gets me, wants to be bilingual too. It's como el cerro brama junto a las corrientes. The word brama means roar, it roars. It yearns. Brama, I don't know how to say that. It's like a moo. You ever been out in the woods and hear the mating calls? Oh, those mating calls. Something. Oh. Oh, there goes the deer. Where's that call? Why? Because it's a yearning. The Lord, our soul does that. Ah! Ah! Romans 8 says, the Spirit intercedes with us with moanings and groaning. Oh, groaning. Not like your husband or your wife. No, it's a yearning from inside, and the Spirit comes in and it intercedes for us because we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to say, but the Spirit intercedes for us in that while we allow Him to take off our shoes and become just before Him, pure and clean before Him. Learn to trust Him. Learn to trust. I like that word trust because the bankers use that a lot. They have a special trust for their grandchildren. Trust. You know, we've been paying our tithes all our lives. And we have our trust out here on earth. We don't need a big combination to get into that vault. The Bible says, don't make treasures here on earth, but make treasures up in heaven. Up in heaven. Trust. Do I trust Him to do that, to give my money? Oh, to us, that's the closest thing we have. Closer than your wife, closer than your husband, is your wallet right here. You're proud of purses, right? It's so funny. You go to a store, any store, which store, and you approach people, you approach a lady, and as soon as she sees you, she grabs onto her purse. Like, what, I think she thinks I'm a thief? Is that racial profiling? Grab a hold of that thing. No, because there's nothing closer to us than money. We work for it. We work for it hard. And God is telling us to give 10%. Do I trust God? The Bible even goes a little deeper. Can a man rob God? Ah, yes, you can rob him. Used to be, go to the post office, you'd see the most wanted. I don't know if they do that anymore. I don't go to the post office anymore. But they have posters, most wanted, most. Well, some of us would be on those posters. Aye, aye, aye. Sorry, Brother Joe, I'm getting into your territory. I'll back off. But really, honestly, trust in God. I'm going to do this. You know that little widow? The prophet said, give me that. That little old lady said, we only have a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, and it's for me and my son. And once we make this last little torta, this little bread, we're going to die. And the prophet says, no, make it for me. Please make it for me. And this woman trusted the man. She made that little thing. For 2 years, she lived off that little bit of oil, that little bit of, they never starved to death. Why? Because she trusted. That's the way God is. You give him a little bit, he's going to multiply. He's going to give it to you. He's going to say. Well, there was somebody back there. I would. Hey, brother, I don't see you. Yeah, I'll bring my own clicker. All right. So we're looking at Moses. He's seeking. He wants to trust God. And then he may ask and it shall be given unto you. Search and you will find. Who's saying these words? Just in the concept that we have, we gotta take our sandals off. We have to take our history off and listen to the words. Let them penetrate. Ask and it will be given to you. Oh, again, when I say take the past out, I know some of your parents, not so much now, but back in the old days, they would manipulate us to obedience. They would lie to us. Our parents would lie. I don't know how many of you, I used to do that with my sons. Yeah, let's go. I think we're going to go to Santa Cruz. And then they get all ready. I go, oh, I don't feel like it. I got to be moral. You know, they would also lie to us. They go, El cucuy is under the bed. He's going to get you. As a kid, I used to believe it. Yeah. But, they've done a lot of bad things to us. A bunch of people have done bad things to us. But Jesus is saying, ask and it will be given to you. Just like that? Yeah. There's no compromise. You just ask me and I'm going to give it to you. And then he says, search, seek, look for it, and you will find it. Oh, knock, and the door will be open. What a concept. This is what Jesus is. This is why he's saying, you're the glory. You're the best thing. You're what I've invested. Yeah, I came to die for you. I gave my blood for you. Some of us might think, well, you know, that maybe it's for that other group. Maybe it's, you know, am I really in the truth? Oh, boy. Am I really in the truth? What you have to do is believe. I think you're here for a reason. I think for a reason that the Lord is cutting you up right now. That surgery is happening, but the Spirit's going to give you life. And it says, ask and search, knock. The one who asks always receives. The one who searches will always find. The door opens to the man who knocks. Please, do that. This is your job. So when we come down from that mountain, this is what Moses was accepting of God. He says, I am the Lord thy God. And amen.
Hey, brother.
And we are here to please God. You're not here to please me. You're not here to please Brother Concha, Brother Concho. You're not here to please anyone. You're here to please God. All right? I don't know your names. I don't know a lot of you. You know, 35 years ago I did, because I was in second in our. I used to be the song leader, if you can imagine that. I had a lot more hair, kind of thin. And I was a song leader. Brother Aguilar was an organ player. And I was over there. 25, 30 people, 40, whatever. Yeah, baptism. I baptized one guy one time. He tells me, brother, when you baptize me, keep me down for a few minutes, a few seconds. Because I want to get cleansed. Hey? I go, okay, buddy. I put him down there, and I was holding him. The other brothers, the ushers, were going, brother Aaron, you all right? You all right? No, come down. He just wants to get cleansed. I don't know if he was doing the butterfly or whatever. He backs, and then he comes up and he's rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Oh my goodness! We're here to please God. We're not here to please anybody else. We're only here to please God. I want to please God with my life, with my thought. If your life is warped, your mind is warped, he'll change that. Your spirit is warped. Oh, he'll change that. You're pessimistic. He'll change that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. It's impossible to please God without faith. Bottom line. Surgery is happening. The cutting is happening. Do you have faith? Do you want to please God? Is he the objective, the main objective in our life, in our children, in all that? Do we want to please him? It's so hard to please one another. I've been married 45 years, and I barely learned that my wife's favorite ice cream is vanilla. Used to fight over that. Can you imagine that? Used to argue about ice cream. In 45 years, I don't know. My parents just celebrated 75 years of marriage. Is that possible? 75. Yep, they were married before I was born. I'm only 71. So, wow. And we try to please each other. I try, you know, I know more or less what to buy, what not to buy. You know, if she likes Prada. The devil wears Prada, be careful. You want to please who? A lot of us want to please ourselves. I want to please me. I want to please myself. I want to do what. Because what? You know why? Because you're idol worshiping yourself. We're intoxicated with ourselves. Oh, boy. And I the greatest. My, you should have seen those. Oh, we get so self-centered, egotistic. We could care about the rest. God is saying, you gotta take your shoes off. You gotta take those chanclas off. Yeah, those ones your mother used to hit you with, those chanclas, take them off. He said, why? Because I wanna pray. I want the praise from your heart. I wanna give you the praise unto him. But without faith, it is impossible to please. Because anyone who wants to approach God wants to get close to God. To grow in relationship with God, not with the church, not with the members, but with God. You're personal God
must believe both two things,
that he is or that he exists. That he is.
You want to approach him? Better believe that he is, that he exists, and that everything is in control. Yes, the world may look like it's swirling. Yes, the world, yeah, but he's in control. He's in control.
God is, and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him.
He's going to respond to your need, fill that void.
And as he is. So if you want to please God, please believe, because you can't do it without faith. The sacrifice God deserves is a humble spirit. Oh God, a humble and repentant heart you will not reject. This is the sacrifice unto God, a broken spirit, a humble spirit, contrite heart. He wants your brokenness. He wants your fragmented life.
Yes. He wants that. That to him is precious. He doesn't want that boast, that proud, that look at me. No, he wants a humiliated individual that is willing to accept, to become naked. Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. I've given it all up. Why? Because God is seeking that. No.
Moses, he dealt with God all the time. God was dealing with his life and this and that and all that. And one time he says, show me your glory. He wanted proof. He wanted proof that God is there. He wanted to see him. He wanted to experience him at a different level. So he said, show me your glory. Today, if you want to please him, And if you're looking for him and you say, God, is it really you? Know that he is and that he exists. You should tell him, show me your glory. Show me your majesty. Show me your power. Show me your individuality. Show me. I want to see it. Oh, especially with doubting Thomas's. You know, there was an apostle that was a doubter. Oh, a doubter. Jesus came into the room, appeared just through the walls. He appeared to them, showed them wound. After he resurrected, of course, his wound in his hand, the piercing of his side. Thomas wasn't there, so they told him, Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. He's real. Thomas says, no, he's not. Until I put my hands into his fingers, and I thrust my hand into his side, will I believe? He's here today. You want to touch his hand? You want to thrust your hand into his side? He is here today. What? By faith? You want to please God? Please him by faith. You're seeking him until Jesus appeared to Thomas. And says, hey, Thomas, come here, buddy. He said, push your finger. No, Thomas says, no. I believe my Lord and my God. It says, my Lord and my God. Why? Show me your glory. I want to see it. Some of you ought to run like the aisles. Remember in the beginning I said the craziness, la locura? Crazy. Oh, no, it ain't. It's the Holy Ghost. It's what else I can do. Solomon said, the glory and the glory, the glory of the Lord, the three cannot contain you. How much more this temple? How much more this flesh? Isaiah saw, the 6:1, it says, I saw the glory of the Lord, and the train filled the temple. And the cherubims was holy, holy, holy. And I fell down and I said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people with unclean lips. That's what we are. We are unclean. But God makes it pure. He pure. You know what the angel did? He went to the altar in heaven. There's an altar in heaven. The tabernacle is nothing more than a shadow of what was up there. We're going to be up there, and that's what we're going to do. Oh, when they dance around the throne. Oh, when they dance around that throne. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the... Oh, wait a minute. The very image, the tabernacle was up in heaven. The Bible says that the angel took the thongs and took a hot coal from the altar and came down to Isaiah, and he purified his lips. Bzz, he purified them. Why? To make them pure. Show me your glory. He was, when the glory came, he felt unclean. He felt dirty. He felt unworthy. But it's the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to burn that off. The transformation is going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes in, and it'd be like a fire. Got to feel it. I'm going to ask you today, pray, Lord, make me crazy to run the aisle. Or, no, Lord, just make me crazy enough to do a little jig. Just a little jig, Lord, in your presence. Why? Ah, that's crazy. Yeah, when there was a quinceañera, you were down there in the middle. Huh? Give me that craziness. Give me that I can take off my robe, that I can take off my sandals, and I can praise you, God. Gosh. Longing. Show me your glory. Show me glory. Huh? Exodus 33 says, Moses says, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before your face. The glory of God is the goodness. Oh, no, Lord, we want like pillars of fire. Oh, we want angels to come down and consume. What? Weren't they asking that? Lord, send fire down and consume. No. Moses, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna cover your eyes, and you're gonna see. And my goodness is gonna pass by. That's the glory. The glory of God is salvation. The glory of God is his sacrifice. The glory of God is his blood that he shed on Calvary. That's his glory. You want to see glory? Look to your neighbor and see how God has changed and changed and brought him here. This house is full of glory. Why? Because people that were living in hell, living in sin, living in ungodly lives are here today raising their hands, praising God. You are the glory of God. Nobody can take it away. Some of you inherited through your parents. Some of you were born into it. Others were not. Others were drawn by the glory of God, the precious will of God, the hunger, the desire. They were sick of life. And they came to be filled. And this is the filling station. This is the place of plenty. This is the house of bread. Isn't that what our pastor preached last week? Is there bread in the house of bread? This is the place. You are the glory, brother. When you shake that brother's hand, he's not just an ordinary man. He's a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He's got the glory of God in him.
When you shake that sister's hand, brother, she's a representation of the love of God, of the glory of God. Hug her and say, give me some of that. Give me some of that glory. Give me some of that feeling. I want to fill my heart with that. I will proclaim the Lord by name before you. I will be gracious, whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I show mercy. That's the grace of God. Please understand, you that have the power of the Holy Ghost, you can extend your hand upon the grace and bless somebody's life. Please don't take it for granted when somebody shakes your hand and say, God bless you. When they say, God bless you, you tell them, God hear you. That God may hear you, because I want the blessing, and you can bless. You will bless. You are the blessing out there. That's who you are. You are the glory of God. You are the glory of God. This is what includes God's glory, beauty, majesty, splendor, might, life eternal. He is light in him. There's no darkness at all. Salvation brings all this idea to being. The salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the glory of God. You are an example. You, life. There's so many people you associate with out there, they don't have it. There's so many people you associate with day in and day out. They don't know about it. They're hungry for it. Let them see it in your face. Let them see it in your complex. Let them see it in your experience, in your personal life. Why? Because you are the glory of God. You are. Yes, only God knows where I was in the body or outside the body, but I do not know. Amen. That I was caught up in the paradise and heard things so astonished that they could not be uttered in words. There's no human to allow to tell them. That's the glory, the paradise of God. It came down upon this man, Paul, and he's experiencing. He says, there's words that can't be uttered. There's words that we don't know in our vocabulary. Words. God. I was reading about my dog. And my dog, I was reading that his smell is 2,500 times greater than mine. And I kind of realized that because when I start making chorizo, he comes around. He'd be in that other room, boy. Yeah. Another thing that he has that I don't have capacity is the hearing. Their hearing are a lot more times, I don't know how many times better, keen. He could hear things. I don't know. Especially now. My hearing aids give out on me. And why? Because there's things we can't hear. We're limited in human existence. How much more, Paul says, there's some things we can't describe. He's so wonderful. We're so limited to our language. We're so limited to our culture. We're so limited to our experience. And this is the thing about God. If we could only break away from our culture, break away from what we know, and allow God to show us great and more wonderful things that are to happen. Quit looking at the limitations of people. Don't judge people. Just let God work. Next. Now all we can see of God is like a cloudy picture in the mirror. Brother, you painted a picture kind of rough, you know. God can move that person. I don't know, God. No. This is what this verse says. Is right now we see as a cloud picture in the mirror. It's a cloudy picture. Later we will see him face to face. Moses said, I want to see your glory. And the Lord says, not now. He says, but later you're going to see him face to face. We will know everything, but then we will, just as God, be completely understanding. We will see him as he is. As he is. You know what? Somebody asked about going to heaven. Will you see your brother? You say, you're not going to care. You're not going to care, your brother, your sister. No. I don't care about none of y'all. I just want to see him. Brother Richard said, I want to see Jesus. I want to be in the midst of Jesus. This old earthly life, we're just a passing by. It's just not good enough. We're going to see there.
You know, you read Philippians and Ephesians, and it says the divine nature. The divine nature. We have a divine nature. Oof. Yes, we're angels.
You're not an angel, you're a Mexican, huh? Up there. Because the Bible says we have a divine nature. We'll see. Walk.
And he walks with me, and he talks, and he tells, I don't know if I said that one before, but my goodness, that's what it is. It is. My friend, dear friend, we're already children of God, though it hasn't been yet seen. But we know when Christ returns, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he truly is. In the last days, he has spoken to us through the person of his son, whom has appointed us heir and lawful owners. my goodness. He appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by through whom he created the worlds and reaches of space and ages of time. He made products, built operations, and arranged all in order. That's my God. That's who we're seeking for. That's where we're going. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God, and we are his glory. The lightning beamed them out of the rays and the rain. He is the perfect imprint of the very image of God's nature. So Moses says, show me your grace. Show me your power. And he says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you my grace. Glory. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you.
Get closer to God. Some of us move back from God. No, it says, come close to God. It says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. You double-minded, grief, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift.
Are you accepting that thought? Are you accepting the surgery? Are you accepting your diagnosis this morning? Do you have faith? You believe? You're the glory of God. You believe that we have a celestial being inside of us that's going to live forever, and that he finds it precious that we can share that with others. It's the glory of God. You are the glory of God. Yes, coming to the close. My question to you is, what's your response? What's our response? You have to respond to God. You have to respond to the Word. The Word has already exposed you, has exposed us, has diagnosed us. What's your response? Are you seeking? Or are you pretty satisfied? I read a word this week, apologetic Christian. Christians, they apologize for what they are. I'm sorry. It's what we believe. Don't be apologetic, Christian. Be bold and stand firm and say, I am a warrior. I am a Christian for the Lord. Don't be. Are we seeking this morning? Or have you stopped
seeking? Have you reached the pinnacle of your Christian life and say, I've accomplished it? Now what? Or is there more? Give me more. The women in the Old Testament said, give me children or I die. Give me more. My seeking, do I want? Are you knocking enough? Knock. It shall be open unto you. Brother, sister, knock. I remember testimony. Preacher was preaching in a revival. And he's preaching about, if you want your loved one to come to Jesus, you want your loved one to come to the Lord, just take an item. Bring him to church. Bring that item that's his. Bring it to church. His sister took her literally. She went into her closet. Her husband didn't come to church. Her husband was not a believer. But she took his suit, his shirt, his tie, his shoes, socks. Every Sunday, she would bring and sit in the front pew and sit that suit, the tie, shirt. He's having faith. One of these days, he's going to fill that suit. He's going to fill that jacket. He's going to fill that. Why? Because I believe. Are we knocking enough? Are we saying, God, my grandson, my nephew, he's locked up. She's locked up. She's bound by sin. She's bound by drugs. Can you buy him a Bible and etch his name on it and say, mijo, this is for when you come to church. This is when you get baptized in Jesus' name. Can you step out by faith? Can you just say, Lord, it's going to happen? Can you visualize it? Are you knocking? Ask and it shall be given to you. Asking those simple words. Are we seeking? Are we knocking? Can we see our kids there and just say, Lord, bless Junior. Simply ask, it shall be done, given unto you. Tenth. Heavenly Father, we love you. We trust you with our life. We trust you with our future. Some have given up their relatives. Some have turned back on the religion of their parents. Because we trust you and we love you, we've gone this far. And yes, the devil is always trying to destroy us. Lord, you know, we know that he's like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. But we don't want to give up. We don't want to stop believing. We're going to pick up the cross that's heavy. We're going to pick up the cross that's lumbers. Oh, Lord, we're going to pick up the cross and follow you. We're going to knock. We know it's going to be open. We're going to ask, and we're going to receive. In Jesus' name, I bless every heart, every individual. In Jesus' name. What do you want from God this morning? What do you need? Do you need an altar to lay it all before God? You're not going to talk to me. You're not going to tell. You're going to tell to God. This altar is drenched with tears of other people. If the blood of Abel cried out, vengeance, I believe this rug is filled with tears of sinners that have come to God. And one day these tears are going to call out to God, and they're calling out to God now. And some of those are directed to you this morning.
God is calling you to a deeper walk. God is calling you to seek Him further, to understand Him. I know there's some broken hearts here today. I know there's some confused individuals here today. And I know that this sounds real crazy, but this is the will of God. If you would please stand along with me. I will offer you this altar. That's all we can do, is offer this altar and the blessing. We want a blessing. Brothers, we want to bless you. Sisters, amigos, amigas, we want to bless you. Come. There's so many of you that can bless people. So many of you that can bless individuals. Your marriage, your relationships. Jesus is here. He wants to give you that longing desire in your heart. Your family's going to be okay. You're doing right. You're trusting God. You're giving Him your time, your energy. You're giving Him your confession. You're uttering with your mouth. He that proclaims Jesus with their mouth is saved. Sisters, can we pray? Brothers, can we pray for these individuals that are here? You have the answer, sister. You have the power, brother. You are. Amen, in Jesus' name. Right now, I want to seek, Lord. I want to knock, Lord. I want to ask, Lord. Show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord Jesus. We're just two individuals. I'm just a person, Lord. I have my past. I have so much hurt, so much pain. I have so much loss. I've lost so many things. I've lost. There's a lot of pain I've lost in my heart. Oh, I want to seek you. I want to see more of you, God. I want to fill my life, my satisfaction. Jesus, bless my brother. Bless my sister. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising His name. Oh, we worship You, for You are good all the time. We sang that how great Thou art. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. He's here right now. He's here right now. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Sing it. Tabernacle, purify our hearts. Surround us in this place.
Jesus is here right now.
And breathe new life within us.
Change my concepts. Change my pre-notions, Lord. Change my attitude. Change. Are You real? Are You real? Show me Your presence.
Let Your glory fill this place.